Today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, all of our recording is going well, is Mishnah Gimel, and we will have our introduction from our very own Kapitan, who seems to have grown this Hawaiian shirt as part of his skin. It no longer comes off, not in the day, not in the night, but after all, when you're out there on these long ocean voyages, you don't have much of a choice. And, okay, we're glad you're in a different house, though, Rich, but go ahead. We're not hearing you. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so we're getting on now discussing the things that we started discussing yesterday. And we were talking about a little roly that goes together with your shida. We now want to talk about damages. So what about if you have these kelim? And they are not broken in the sense that we've discussed up until now, which was broken such that there's a hole and they no longer have a base kibbel. We introduced yesterday a new concept of broken, which was something that can't stand properly on its own. Now, when it comes to a Kli 8, if it isn't designed particularly in order to be connected to something else, then you've got a problem. So let's say you lose a leg of a cabinet, right? So a shida, teva, migdal, shnitla echad miraglia. So let's say you have one of these things. The machlokas, by the way, whether all of these things are considered to be discussions of movable objects, because we talk about them haniknas b'shida teva migdal, which is a little weird that people would be carrying you in some kind of non-movable thing. But okay, let's just assume that it's a regular shida. Indeed, is a movable box, a cart of some kind, or a carriage of some kind. And maybe a tevo migdal is solid, stays in one place. But whatever, the point is that if one of the legs breaks off, so then af al pisha mikablim, even though the container aspect is undamaged, there's no hole in it, they are still tohorin, because it is not considered to be a kli, since it can't stand properly. She'enan mikablim kidarkan. How about where something is not broken in any way, but they're made in such a fashion that you can use them in two different ways? I mean, not that they're meant to be used in two different ways. Let's imagine a decorative cabinet that goes up on one side and is lower on the other side, right? Now you've got another one that goes up on the other side. You put them together. It's really fancy and so on. Alon could tell us about that kind of furniture. He's got a good source in Joburg for it. Now, the question is like this. When that thing is standing straight and you would fill it, you would not be able to utilize the extra space because whatever you're filling it with would be broken off at the top. But suppose you put it on its side. And now the extra space is on the bottom, and then it will fill up completely. Okay, so what about if normally it's not makabel? It's ain't a makabel, kedarik on the 40 saw. But it is makabel on its side, 40 saw. And if remember that once it has a shear of arboim saw, it's considered to be ain't a metal to maleverekan, and because of that, it's not going to be makabel tuma. What would be the din over there? So Rabbi Yossi says it is still tummy, because it's not considered to be a kli that has arboim saw. And therefore, it is metaltal. In its normal way, it is metaltal malavarekam. And that is what's important. Now, we move on here. And this becomes very much of an obsession to us, not only in this perek, but even in the next perek, is talking about the interesting subject of beds. Now, the reason that beds are an interesting subject of the Gemara is because they are so obviously constructed of different parts, which in those days were often taken apart in order to save room. And of course, nowadays also we have types of beds, you know, cots and things like that, that can be taken into different pieces. So let's talk about the basic concept of a bed. So the basic concept of a bed in the Gemara consists of what we would call the headboard and the footboard, which in the Gemara is called the ktsarot, the short sides, and the sideboards, which are called the arukot, the long parts, arukot hamita, in the Gemara. Now, it also has the lattice work of rope that you put through the sides, all four sides, an interwoven rope. and that we talked about earlier, and they should see the air of the rope. And then you would put maybe a leather covering over that, and you would sleep on it. You would put linen over that, and you would sleep on it. But there's also additional pieces. Those additional pieces consist of the legs, which allow the bed to be of a height that makes it usable as a bed instead of just being an extension of the floor. And then, because of the fact that floors were often made of dirt, there was also the little piece that you put on the bottom. Now, those of you who have carpeting in your house recognize that little piece, usually made of plastic, that they sell, and you stick them under the legs that are on top of carpeting in order to spread the weight of your couch so that it doesn't make a hole in the carpet, right? You know what I'm talking about? You're looking very blank. All right. Most people who have carpet know exactly what I'm talking about. So they sell these all over. These were called chamorim. And remember, anything that is just a dumb support, that doesn't do anything intelligent, is called a chamor throughout the Mishnah. So in terms of the bed, this is the chamor of the bed. It's only there in order to protect the legs from, here it's the opposite, not that the legs will damage the floor, but that the floor will damage the leg, because since the leg is made out of wood, if it's sitting on a dirt floor, it's going to be absorbing a lot of liquid moisture and it'll end up just falling apart. So in order to protect the leg, you put chamorim on it. Now, also, the bed itself, even though it had a small leg, remember that we do not want to make, and nowadays we have forgotten how it is that, how important it is to conserve space. But obviously, if you have a one-room home, you would like to be able to, at the very least, take that bed, put it on its side, and put it up against the wall in the daytime so that you've got all the space that it's taking up, right? So because of that, the leg on a bed was a very short kind of thing. And then it went into this piece of wood that was called a malbein. So at night, you would take out the malbein and the chamor. You would put the malbein, which is a leg extender, on one malbein on each leg, and put the whole thing on the ground with the chamor underneath each malbein. So basically, every piece of the bed consisted of not just itself, but needed to take into consideration. These were usually put on the short side, and therefore, you would have the chamor, the malbein, and the regel of the bed, which was called the kra'e hamita, the kera, which is the knee, so to speak, the leg of the bed. If it was a canopy bed, they didn't use a four-post canopy, because again, constraints on space. So what would you use, and why would you want a canopy bed? Because of mosquitoes, for heaven's sakes, who wouldn't want a canopy bed? So what you would do over there is you would put two poles in that had a little place to be held in the tzirei amita, in the headboard and the footboard. There would be a pole sticking up. You would put a pole between those two poles, and then you would put your mosquito netting over the pole so that it came down as a diagonal over your bed, and there would be enough room for you to sleep in it without your bumping into the mosquito netting right over your head. And that was sufficient. So that was the most space-conserving way to have a bed. Now, because of this, we need to discuss which elements of the bed are considered to be kalim in and of themselves. Is a bed mekabel tumah only as a unit? Are the parts of it mekabel tumah? If we're going to be metairit in a mikveh, could we be metairit as a whole unit? How about the fact that the water would not be able to surround all of the pieces? Because let's say once you stuck the leg into the malbein, then the water's not going to get into the place where the leg is in the malbein. So is that a good tefillah? Do you have to take it apart? Now, you will note, of course, there are many modern situations of exactly that same thing. It's used in a way in which you screw one part in the other. Can you put it into a mikveh? You have to unscrew it to make sure that each part is completely covered by water. Okay, all of these issues are the issues that are going to be discussed in the rest of the parak and in the next parak as well. So let's talk about the parts, okay? So you have the naklitei hamita. Those naklitei hamita, those are the posts that hold up your mosquito netting. You have the chamor, that's the carpet protectors, in this case, the leg protectors. You have a chipui. Now, a chipui is another very interesting thing, which is that if you're not going to take your bed apart, what you do want to do is to turn it into a couch in the daytime. Now, this, again, this is also a modern thing in which you have these beds. What do they call those? The ones that have the one bed under the other and you pull them out. Oof, forgot the word for it. There's another word. Yeah, no, there's another word. High risers. Not trundle bed. A trundle bed doesn't rise, but the high riser bed, basically, what you do for it, you can buy a chipui for your high riser, and you can get them on Amazon, and they turn the high riser into something that looks more like a couch, which makes it suitable for use during the day. So they used to use a metal cover that was decorative and made it look like a fancy type of couch that they had. So those were called the chipui, but that was actually matechet. And all of those things are considered to be tahor on their own. Why? Because, look, anything that is not an actual clay kibble is not going to be metame as eitz. And anything that is mishamesh the eitz as a chipui, even if it's metal, gets the din of the kli that it's being mishamesh. These are all principles that we had earlier. So because of that, all of those things are themselves not going to be mikabel tuma. But what can be metuma are in tame ela mita, the frame, the bed, the bread itself, and the malbein that is what you use to extend the legs. The reason that this is the malbein is because now it's going to be part of the bed, but B'nai Levi, who travel with their own malbeinim, those are tahor, because since they're obviously are not going to come to Yerushalayim to do the Aveda, they didn't bring a whole bed with them when they travel. What they would do is they would take the malbeinim and they would knock on doors, people in Yerushalayim, and ask to borrow beds that they could camp out on. People would be very reluctant to give someone a bed unless, knowing that they were going to camp out with the bed, unless they can show that they will take very good care of the bed. And the way that they would show that is by having their own malbeini. And they would show the guy, they would say, listen, don't worry, your bed is going to be very cared for. It's not going to get wet. We have our own malbeinim, and if it's raining outside or anything else, it's not going to affect your bed. So then people would lend them their bed. So because of that, the malbeinim of the Levim are tahor because they're not attached to the bed. The bedafka meant to be carried around from place to place. How about, says the next Halakha Mishnah in Mishnah Dalet, how about a malbein that you put on different small, thin pieces of wood in order to even out the surface of the bed? So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are metame, even those little lishonot, little tongues of wood, because you would attach them to the malbein, and because of that, they're considered to be a chelik of the bed. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon were metaher, because obviously you're going to move the bed, and now it's on a different surface. Your floor over there may need the lishonot in another place. So how could you make them part permanently consider them to be part of the bed? That doesn't make any sense. Says Rabbi Yossi, what do you mean it doesn't make any sense? Why would they be different than the malbenei b'nei Levi? I mean, aren't these lishonot clearly the same as the malbenot b'nei Levi? I mean, if you move them, they would take them off. I mean, are we not agreed they're at least going to be movable when you move the bed? So the lishonot, because it's ridiculous to think that you're going to use the same balancing act wherever you put the bed. So in the same way that you just said, malbenei b'nei Levi are tahorim because they're removed when you move the bed, meaning when you move yourself to get another bed. So for sure, these little lishonot, which are just thin pieces of wood, of course, they're not going to be more chomer than that.